The first Sunday of Advent, it is kind of hard to imagine. And our theme is hope. Hope really is one of those words that seems to mean one thing to some and totally different to others. It does mean one thing in a biblical sense. And if you have not, if you've not picked up your Advent guide, then you've already missed this day of hope reading. But you can read it later today. Hope is defined differently, however, by our world. I often hear the word hope. And I use the word hope in this, well, like the kids, kind of a wishful thinking, this great desire. I hope, I said last night, I hope the Baylor family appreciates the gift Oklahoma State gave us last night. I hope, I said good words about Oklahoma State last night. Now I hope that Baylor smears Oklahoma State this coming Saturday. Isn't it interesting how one day our words and our prayers change? I hope our new carpet doesn't have polka dots on it. Don't you? I hope my son Truett didn't miss a class that he was supposed to take and that he actually will graduate from seminary in 3 weeks. We just had that conversation. Truett, are you sure you haven't missed something on your degree plan and you're not going to graduate? I hope Emily Jordan makes me some fudge this week. I hope after our Christmas Eve carols, candles, and communion, I hope for just a little bit on Christmas Eve it snows, not ice like January, February of last year, but just a beautiful Christmas Eve snow. Hope. But biblical hope is not some fragile, flimsy wish. Biblical hope is much deeper than a simple desire. Biblical hope indicates a confidence we have in God. Our hope is built on faith in God, faith in His gift, the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Biblical hope is bold. Biblical hope is strong. Biblical hope is true. Biblical hope is a foundational truth and a promise that of Advent, that in Christ's first coming, hope was born, and in the second advent of Christ, hope will totally be consummated. And really, on this Sunday morning, sitting in this sanctuary that's been decorated, and if you haven't been to the Great Hall to see the great big beautiful tree, you need to go as you go pick up your Advent guide, your poinsettia order list. Notice the tree. I think it's easy when we're surrounded by family and friends to be filled with hope. But let's be honest, hopelessness is very real. And hopelessness has been a part of the world from the beginning. We can look throughout the Scripture. There are great periods that we read about in Scripture during the Old and New Testaments that were definitely defined as hopeless. I mean, when you read some of the stories of Adam and Abraham, those guys knew hopelessness. And Noah and Moses and Jacob and Joseph, even King David, who had it all, a man after God's own heart, and yet we know he had periods of hopelessness, as did his son Solomon. Jeremiah, the great prophet, Isaiah, Amos, Hosea, these gentlemen who had this almost, it seemed, this direct connection to God, had moments in their life where they were filled with hopelessness. And the New Testament isn't any different. The disciples who walked with Jesus and saw Jesus and heard the actual teachings of Jesus had periods where they lost all hope, and after the cross they were totally hopeless. Before the resurrection and even the day of the resurrection, they sat together, even after the women said, "You won't believe what we've seen." They were hopeless. And the Apostle Paul, you know, Paul wrote all these letters to these churches that he had started and a part of. I often wonder if the Apostle Paul would have written a best-selling book. I think the title would be, "Start a Church, Lose Your Brain." Start a church, lose all stomach lining. Start a church, lose your religion. Start a church, lose all hope. But what about you today? In our day, it's one thing to reflect on these characters that we've read about in the Bible, but what about you? This week, I wanted to be real modern pastor, like our staff, all these young guys and ladies who are always telling me how old I am, that I use a legal pad and to carry a folder and a briefcase around. So I spent half a day looking for this moving contemporary illustrations on hope and hopelessness. And so I went to YouTube, and I was looking for something that would just grab me, and I Googled all for hours. And after hours of looking at YouTube and Googling, I was also filled with hopelessness. Here's a YouTube video entitled, "Ho, Ho, Hopeless. Santa loses it all in a bad real estate deal and tries to win it back in a poker game but goes bust." A sermon on hopelessness. 55-minute sermon entitled, "Hopeless in Jerusalem." I'm not listening to any sermon for 55 minutes. You wouldn't. Here was one, a sermon, "Cure for Hopelessness, 3 Simple Steps." And I started reading. And then about one paragraph into it, it said, "For a $99 membership, you too can have this full sermon and a yearly membership to Sermon Express." I need that. Forget sermons. So I Googled simply the word "hopeless." The first entry, "Hopeless Romantic Hallmark Movies." No, please. I gave up. But this I know. In the midst of doing life in Lufkin, many live with a sense of hopelessness. The problems around us are not comical, but they're immense and overwhelming. Hopelessness is a reality for so many. And maybe some of you this morning. Hunger. You know, it's hard for me to get my mind around that this day in which we live, with all that we have and all the technology and all that, and that this day, after I've just spent days eating, and we had so much food and so many leftovers, and we will throw out so much. It's hard for me to imagine that people in our world are starving to death today. That food insecurity abounds even in Angelina County. And that there are folks in parts of our world who would give anything just to have something to eat. Not just hunger, the horrors of war cause hopelessness. It seems when we as a nation, when we're not engaged directly in a war, it's easy to think all is well, the world's at peace. But you know the world's not at peace. There is civil unrest. There is war, and even in our own nation, community upheaval, hopelessness. The home, the family, chaos, dysfunction, families who should be so secure are so hopeless. And yes, let's just admit it, the political angst and the political anger that abounds in our own nation. Democrat hate Republican. People hate President. President hate Congress. No compromise. No civility. Is there no end? Hopeless. But wait. It's Advent. And did you hear the text that Paul wrote and that Jessica read, Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may, I love this, overflow, so that you may overflow with hope, not in yourself, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me read that again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Earlier in Romans chapter 5, Paul wrote these words that are familiar. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we now boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character gives hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom God has given to us. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is not a fantasy daydream that someday our ship will come in. Hope is based on the promises of God. Hope is based on God Himself. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah was right. Zechariah said, "Return to God, you prisoners of hope." In Hebrews, the writer said, with strong encouragement, seize the hope that has been set before you. Peter wrote, we have been born to a new and living hope through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an old book in my library written by John Maxwell. The book's entitled, Think on These Things. And I guess it's my favorite quote on hope. Maxwell writes, hope shines brightest when the hour is the darkest. Hope motivates when discouragement comes. Hope energizes when the body is tired. Hope sweetens while bitterness bites. Hope sings when all melodies are gone. Hope believes when evidence is eliminated. Hope listens for answers when no one is talking. Hope climbs over obstacles when no one is helping. Hope endures hardship when no one is caring. Hope smiles confidently when no one is laughing. Hope reaches for answers when no one is asking. Hope presses toward victory when no one is encouraging. Hope brings the victory when no one is winning. Hope dares to give when no one is sharing. Hope always wins. November the 28th, 2021, church. On this day, church, my hope is not enlightened, nor is it extinguished based on what I read in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. My hope is not propelled, nor is it put out based on what I hear on CNN, FOX, MSNBC, or even ESPN. My hope and your hope must look at the facts and then look at God's promises and not turning away, not denying the reality and the facts of the world, not turning away from the difficult issues in our world, and yet to find hope which lives out in this vision of life that's based on the promises of God, trusting that a benevolent, compassionate, all-powerful God is still alive and still real and still here, whether we feel or see or even acknowledge Him. That's hope. That's hope. During Advent, on this day, around our world, at this moment, churches, or later today, or later tonight, or earlier this morning, churches lit a candle. A candle of hope. You know, a candle has always been a symbol of hope. To light the first candle on the first Sunday of Advent is to say, in the face of all the world, and maybe in spite of the world, it says, our God lives. And Jesus is the light of the world, and because of that light, because of His life, hope lives. For hope does not disappoint us. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Thanks be to God for Advent. Thanks be to God for hope. And my prayer for each of you is that you would find that hope, that you would live in that hope, that you would share that hope this day, in this season. Our world, our neighbors, our family, they need to hear. They need to hear the promise of hope. Shall we pray? Thank you, God, for the light that came into a dark world that changed the world. That light was hope. That light was Jesus. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The light of the world, arise, your light has come. Oh God, we do not deny that there is a sense of hopelessness around us, that hunger is real and hostile war is devastating, and homes are attacked, and things just seem to zap our hope from us. But deep within, we know that there's hope, because there's God and there's Christ. May our hope overflow, not by our power, but by your power that's in us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this season of waiting, expecting, and looking. Thank you for hope. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.